In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. Blessed feast.
Blessed.
And we actually get to celebrate two feasts kind of pushed together. Yesterday we had a celebration of Lazarus Saturday, Christ's raising of Lazarus. And today we celebrate his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we also call Palm Sunday. And you can see that they're put together purposefully, because we sing their a common triparia for both feasts. We sing, by raising Lazarus from the dead before thy passion, thou dost confirm the universal resurrection, O Christ God. And there's Lazarus Saturday. And like the children with the palms of victory, we cry out to you, O vanquisher of death. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So these two feasts belong together. They go together. There's a reason for it. And part of that reason is that because of the resurrection of Lazarus by Christ, Jesus was hailed by the masses, by most of them, as the long-expected Messiah King of Israel. And so, in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, he enters into Jerusalem, the city of the king, riding on the colt of an ass. And the crowds greeted him with branches in their hands, laying down some of the branches along with their own items of clothing, praising God, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David, the King of Israel. Now this is precisely how the Jews would greet a victorious king returning home after defeating the enemy in battle, which Christ had just done. He had defeated death by his raising of Lazarus in a small way, not in the full way that we have yet to see, but a small victory. And he's entering into his city and being greeted as their king. That cry, Hosanna, it means, save us, O Lord. We repeat this more often than we realize. We ask God to have mercy on us and save us constantly. Save us, O Lord, Hosanna. It is both an acknowledgement of their need for salvation, and at the same time, Christ's ability to save them. And for many, this was a joyous occasion, a cause for celebration. But for others, it was a sign of trouble. Because many of the people began to believe in Christ, especially after he raised Lazarus from the dead. The chief priests and the scribes of the Jews began to plot to destroy him and to put him to death. How can we make this happen? Look at what he's doing. Look how many people are following him. And whatever the case was, whether a person was part of the people shouting Hosanna, or whether they were part of the chief priests, there was a almost universal misunderstanding of who Christ was, what kind of Christ, what kind of Messiah he came to be. Many desired a political savior, one who would free the Jews from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. In fact, this ended up being the charge placed against Jesus that hung above the cross. You can see it there in the Roman letters, I-N-R-I, the King of the Jews. And yet, he did not come as a a conquering king. He entered into Jerusalem much in a similar way to how he entered the world, in a humble manner. He did not ride in on a noble stallion, but on a humble donkey's foal, an untamed animal, and one that was considered unclean by the law. This is the sort of Messiah he came to be. Yet by doing so, he fulfilled that which was written of him by the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah wrote, "O daughter of Jerusalem, lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on an ass, on the colt, the foal of an ass. He shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea. He will set your captives free from the waterless pit." The people desired a Messiah who would triumph over and set right their earthly political situation. But God had a far greater freedom in mind. Freedom from sin and the waterless pit of death to which sin binds us. But because of their preconceived notions of who the Messiah should be, they were unable to accept the greater gift that they were offered. And ultimately, through his passion, even his disciples denied and abandoned him. Despite the repeated warnings of what awaited them in Jerusalem that Christ gave them, even after he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and with two exceptions, his mother and John. How could this be? So easy to ask ourselves. How could the disciples be so dense? Those closest to Jesus, spending every day with him, hearing his teachings, receiving his blessings, witnessing his miracles, how could they not understand? And yet I have a better question. How could this be? How could we, who know of his resurrection, who have united ourselves to him in baptism and invite him to dwell in us when we receive the Eucharist, how could we have such difficulty accepting who God is rather than who we want him to be? And we do it. We do. We tell God what he needs to do for us, rather than seeking how we can become more like him. We come to the hospital of the church and judge others for being sick, for being sinful, for not being exactly who we think they should be. And rather than acknowledging what we pray, that God came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, as we begin the services of Holy Week tonight, we have the opportunity to enter much more fully into Christ's saving passion. To more fully understand what he did for us and what it means to follow him to the cross. To join with those carrying the palms crying out, "Hosanna, Lord, save me." Acknowledging my need for salvation in Christ and his power to save me. We have the opportunity to accept the salvation that he offers rather than the one I expect or desire. And to stand steadfastly with him through his passion, remaining with him at the foot of the cross. So let us not adorn ourselves with beauty and the church, with decorations, without first adorning our souls with repentance. Let us not look to the food and fellowship after the service without desiring even more the feast of the Eucharist. Let us not glory in liturgical processions without ensuring that we walk with Christ throughout every moment of our daily lives. And in this way, may we experience his glorious resurrection on the third day. To his glory. Amen.